Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again, this is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around in circles, and we are so glad that you have joined us. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined as I am each and every week by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief, Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm great. Weekend after Darlington, leading into North Wilkesboro. I mean, how can I be better?
Yeah, it's like Darlington, North Wilkesboro, and Charlotte. What is this, 1983? I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes.
Darlington Raceway. What'd you see? What's your take on what we saw at Darlington, the Goodyear 400?
The racetrack won again.
The racetrack is undefeated, isn't it? And don't we love that about that place?
I love that place. I do. Tougher to pass, seemed like, which makes anxiousness and competitiveness bigger. I like what we got to see. I mean, We saw several people make aggressive mistakes.
No doubt.
And everybody's going to hang Ross Chastain for it. I'm not. No. I do think he's a little too aggressive, but I think there were two dancing in that party.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that restart before.
Martin Truex Jr., who I don't think is an aggressive guy, twice put himself in those positions.
Yeah.
He had the stage two with Ross.
Right. And then the next last restart.
Yeah,
it's Darlington.
It is.
Martin Truex Jr., one of the coolest, calmest, collected drivers, and
he's
puts him on the chip.
Moves,
puts
right?
him on the
I
chip.
Just, what a great show! And it's unique. You know,
It's
the racing line. It's not wide. It's not.
No.
You got to figure out. And I guess this is. There's a couple things out of this weekend.
Yeah.
Harrison Burton. Ran in the top 10 all day long.
Nice.
All day long. Like, ran 6th to 8th all day long, finished 6th.
Yeah.
Really solid day. I guess it's a paint scheme.
That's it. Exactly. That Wood Brothers
that old
paint scheme.
X-Side paint scheme has run really well there.
Yeah, but it really has. Nah. He had talked, whether it was Bob Pockers or one of the reporters had gotten a good conversation with him after the race. And him and Brian Wilson, they feel like that they've shown signs of that the last month. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had a stage of a race where it's like, wow, we're a top 10 car. Well, then something goes off the rails. They put it all together for three stages and stayed a top 10 car.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for them.
Yes, definitely. They had the whole race. Justin Haley, solid finish.
Yes,
I think everybody missed that one. Todd Gilliland, 11th place finish.
This kid is just solid.
Doing everything he can with the equipment he's got. They're doing a great job. But the piece I think that everybody lost in this weekend, William Byron didn't get gifted this race. William Byron and Rudy Fugel, they had speed. They had a couple of issues on pit road the last two pit stops. Uncharacteristic for the 24 team. They've usually been the ones going forward. Lost, but William handled the last two restarts exactly how you needed to, and it wasn't by luck.
No. They keep themselves alive. They keep themselves alive. Yep. They keep themselves alive and execute. Yep. When the time is now, I agree with you. It's fascinating because he's got three wins this season.
Yes,
the other two wins were pit crew executing, putting him on the front row.
This was
William executing.
Rudy and William having a plan talking through what was going on. I don't think there was anybody in the viewing public at the racetrack or on the racetrack that didn't think that Ross Chastain and Kyle Larson were going to wreck each other.
Right. Correct.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
So Rudy and William put together that
they saw it too.
I don't want to be in the top lane when that wreck happens.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. They did a really good job of it.
They really did.
Well executed. Third win of the year. Rudy talked, both of them talked about, last year they got the two early wins and kind of went on a lull,
and
they're going to try to make sure they don't have a lull. Obviously, three wins are in a good position.
They are in a really good spot, that's for sure. So, fun stuff at Darlington, no doubt about it. Really, really cool. The only other note I had is, man, if you're Cliff Daniels, James Small, a crew chief for Martin Truex, Cliff for Kyle Larson, and Phil Surgeon for Ross Chastain, just keep bringing those boys fast cars.
Yes.
Just keep bringing those boys fast cars. They're going to figure out how to win races. Martin won recently. Kyle's got a win earlier this year. But you keep bringing fast cars to the racetrack, those they're going to figure it out.
And if they keep fumbling while they're figuring it out, it makes great talk for us.
Yes, it does.
You know the other piece that we look at that I didn't bring up? The third of the last 4 weeks that Roush Fenway Kozlowski finishes both cars in the top 10.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It has been it was a good story last year. As they kind of got their footing, Chris went and won at Bristol. Brad could have won at Bristol. Brad jokes around, that's the maddest I've ever been in victory lane, you know. They did get the Bristol win, but this is a team that has just done. It was a good story last year. It's turning into a great story this year. It really truly is. And that's what we're going to do here on Crew Call. We're going to talk to Scott Graves, crew chief over there for Chris Buescher, because to your point, here they are. Two cars in the top 10 again. They are just knocking it out. And there's times where it's like you don't mention them until you do the full field rundown at the end. It's like, how'd they do that again? We're going to ask. We're going to ask Scott Graves how they did that, because it's impressive what's going on over there.
Yeah, definitely is. It's fun to watch the growth of that program. The resurgence, I should say. You know, they were dominant back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Feel like they've been through a lull. I feel like Brad's had an impact over there, and it'd be fun to talk to Scott about what's going on and what the trajectory looks like.
And that is what we're going to do here on Crew Call. So stay with us when we come back. Scott Graves from over at RFK Racing. He joins us next.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, and we are headed over to RFK Racing. Joining us, crew chief on that number 17 Ford Mustangs for Chris Buescher is Scott Graves. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing well. Scott, you find yourself in a position where you're knocking off some pretty consistent runs. A 10th place finish at Darlington. Looks like you guys have, you still lean more, but it looks like you guys have found a pretty consistent path here at this portion of the season.
Yeah, for sure. We're, we're not completely happy with where we're at, and we know we need a little bit more speed to get a little bit farther up there and contend for wins, but definitely happy with the consistency and what we've been able to do, and kind of that's showing up in the points where we're able to be, and just week to week we're there, and I think people can see that, and that's a definite improvement from where we've been.
Talk about the mentality that your team has taken on. I mean, I looked at the race that you had at Darlington, and you were buried pretty deep. I felt like 20th most of the day, but you just, nobody ever gave up, and you got yourself to a point where you could drive yourself forward, take advantage of situations. You have to be mentally engaged the whole time to make that happen.
Yeah, you can't give up, because you just never know how the race is going to go and how it's going to turn out. We were in trouble for a lot of the day. It started on the qualifying side. Passing was a lot more difficult than I thought it would be there, than it had been in the past. So really, it was just a struggle, like back where we were. It's such a penalty, and I don't know if people realize, when you're in the back, you're racing so much harder than the guys up front, and you use up all your tires, you use up your stuff, and then the leaders get there, and then you're like, oh, now we got to fight for the lead to stay in the lead lap, and it's just a struggle. But Chris did a good job of keeping us in the game all day, and the good part was the rest of our team, our pit crew, they didn't have any mistakes, they didn't do anything to compound the problems. So it is really a team effort at that point, and you do everything you can. And we got, when things happened, started to go our way, a lot of guys did have problems with the wrecks and things like that. We were able to capitalize on that and move forward and take advantage of it.
You brought something up. I just want to dive into a little bit, and I perceive this, it did look like it's gotten tougher to pass at Darlington. It seems like the place has become a little bit tighter, a little bit harder. And to your point, racing in the back in the dirty air, you do beat your stuff up worse. Do you have a thought on why Darlington's become harder to pass?
I don't. It's interesting. I don't know. I'm kind of struggling with that myself, because I think everyone has realized that you just have to stay tight enough that, you know, you don't fall off. You don't lose the rear grip at the end of a run and fall off. Like, that's when you see people really like tank at the end of a run, is if they get a little bit loose, then they can't keep up. But I think everyone's figured out, like, all right, you just got to keep the car tight enough, and all the cars are so close. There's just not a lot of, you know, disparity between cars and what's going on. So it's just gotten a lot tougher. We've seen that with I don't know, it seems like a lot of tracks this year. I think second year on the car, everybody's starting to figure it out a little bit more. And so the field's just, it's getting tighter and tighter.
Scott, I had a visit with you a little bit at Kansas Speedway race morning out there. One of the things that's really struck me about, and we've talked about your consistency, we've talked about the improvements, the baby steps forward for you and your team. The thing that I really enjoy seeing is that where you see the six, you see the two. One of you is eighth, one of you is 10th. Unfortunately, sometimes one of you 17th, one of you 19th, one of you 5th, one of you 7th. How closer as far as the drivers go and the setups and just how important is it to have both of those cars kind of moving at the same pace forward?
It definitely helps. We've been able to build off each other more. I think last year we had more, we were kind of in opposite directions in some places. I think that was just kind of us as a company and teams trying to find our direction. What does this car want? What do we need to do? And I think now that we've seen what works at different tracks, then, you know, we've kind of both focused in on that and we work around some similar setups. So they're definitely a lot closer this year. There's some tracks we've unloaded almost identical. So that's probably why you see some of the similarities in performance week to week.
Do you, I guess twofold here. How similar are Brad and Chris's driving styles and needs? And then I guess the second piece, you've been at RFK for a while. You were at Roush Fenway before RFK, right?
Before the K,
and
yeah,
carried
right.
over. And yeah. Just talk about, you know, what Brad is, you know, what the interjection of Keselowski to Roush Fenway Keselowski has kind of done through a year and a half.
Yeah, definitely. I think what he's brought is just a different mentality from, I don't know, just our appearance to how we work to like the tools and trying to make sure that we've got all the tools that we need. I think the focus is a little more race team driven rather than just like production driven. That was honestly a problem we had in the past. It was like production would drive it. Like, this is what we make. This is what you get. And you know that, and now it's the team saying, no, this is what we need. And we've been able to go out and get some of those things. And I think you see that is part of the reason for performance. And then just like say the kind of the appearance, the professionalism, what you see. I mean, the shop's been redone. It's a place, you know, now you can take pictures of it and feel proud to say, hey, this is what our shop looks like now. It's big change from that standpoint.
How important a lot of that touchy feely stuff, but how important is that as far as just the morale, the mentality, the mindset of everybody involved from the offices upstairs all the way down to the men and women working on the floor?
It is important. Like, you look at it, you know, before it happens, and you look at it and you're like, oh, is it really worth spending the money just, you know, to redo the floors and to do that? But when it's done and it starts there with the floors, but then it, you know, it moves on to, offices, it moves on to toolboxes, everything looking nice and orderly. And then it kind of, you know, and then it builds into a mentality, an expectation and it builds and like people start looking at like, oh, well, you know, our cars need to look nice. And they start, like say it builds on itself. And then everybody starts looking at, well, I think this could look a little nicer and it's appearance, but then the appearance starts to equate into speed also.
Attention to detail, right? If it happens in the appearance area, it happens in the race car.
Says the guy coming from Penske Racing. Okay, yeah.
Well,
I'm sure he's very aware of it.
I've lived it. It goes back to my design year. Well, somebody always told me back when I was designing it before racing that you know, if it looks good, you've paid attention to make sure that everything else is good too. But I see that and where it goes. You guys have really risen within the Ford camp. I would say, I've said pretty consistently, I feel like you're the second program at in the Ford camp. And I'd say right now you're competing with the top one, which is a far cry from where you were 3 years ago. And I think, yeah. I think it's noticeable how you guys are going forward and especially in a situation, and I'm going to touch on it, but you know, there's been a lot of discussion about Ford's aero deficiencies in where they are right now. You know, you guys, fifth and 10th this weekend, you three of the last four races, you put both cars in the top 10. You've kind of been holding the banner, I think, in a lot of ways. But talk about the challenges of where the cars are and OEMs are going forward at this point. And what do you see in the future as we go through the rest of 23?
Yeah, for sure. There's some challenges. I think, you know, the biggest thing, I'd been on the Toyota side before in the past with JGR. So they, you know, when you talk about Toyota, well, they are JGR. So they're, when you talk about their teams working together, it's just one company basically in one team. So they work together very well. I think on the, like, Chevy side, you know, you hear them talk about how they share setups. You know, they share a lot of information to the level of setups and things like that. You go to the Ford side, and I'd say we're a step behind on all those. I've discussed it before. Like, we don't share setups between Fords. So we're trying to work a little bit more. We're trying to get towards that. You know, teams are talking a little bit more, but we haven't gotten to the point where we're like actually sharing, you know, setup information, really even to like tire pressures. We're kind of hit or miss on how much we even talk about things like that. So at a high level, really, we just kind of, we've got the OEM level aero program, and that's what gets shared between the teams. But I think there's a lot of opportunity, for the Ford camp to get better, regardless of where we are on the aero side of it and things like that. I mean, that's what we have. It's a known, but that's what we have to work with. So we have to figure out how to get that to be right. I think there's opportunity for the Ford program to improve if the teams would actually start working together a little more. And then as a group kind of bring ourselves all up.
We talk about it from the OEM, the aerodynamic standpoint. Is that where you just refine everything? You talked about the execution of the team. You talked about the pit stops. You talked about like the execution at Darlington that you guys had. Is that where now, knowing that the aerodynamic stuff, someone else is going to work on that, y'all are going to get there eventually, is that where you just kind of hone in on the other elements of it, the things you can control?
Exactly. You got to focus on what you can control and what you can do best. And obviously the race execution is a huge part of it. And then, you know, what we can do as a team to get every little bit of speed we can, you know, that's in our control. And then you have to let the other side do their job and you have, you know, belief that we're going to get caught up on that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely interesting. Yeah. Interesting in how you focus on what you can control, right? And work forward. Right. And it seems like it's worked out. Just take a kind of more global look at it. You've raced your way off the bubble. I feel like, you know, I've made note of it. I think you're 14th in points. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Or 13th or 14th.
13th, yeah, I think.
Okay. And you made another spot, right? Yeah. You keep going forward.
Yeah.
What's your perception and what's your mentality? You know, we had this race of how many winners are we going to have? We've had multiples a few times. Where do you feel like your team needs to go to get, make sure that you're playoff eligible? Does it need to win? Where do you feel like you need to get in points if you're just going to points race? What's your perception there?
Yeah. You know, when the year started, thinking back to last year, I was like, well, it's going to take a win. And that was the mentality. Now we've had a lot more repeat winners this year. And I think the path to getting in on points is there now. Not comfortable with it in any way. I still want the win and to know that we need to you know, we need to get the win. Even when you get to the playoffs, if you get in without a win, I mean, your chances obviously of going very far are pretty slim. So I think that's still the ultimate goal that we need to work on every week. But I think the path to get there in points is there, just, you know, based on how it's going. Where that number is going to be, I'm not sure. But I think, you know, if you're in the 10th to 12th place, maybe, you know, 13th in points, maybe that gets you in. It'll be interesting to see, but I definitely think that path is there.
Yeah, you look at it, and we really haven't had winners outside of the top 16 in points, and that makes that easier, right? Back on the backside, that we haven't had the oddball winners.
Right.
We haven't been to all the road courses yet, which are actually a strength of yours, but that becomes an outlier as well, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you look at it, last year, obviously, we got North Wilkesboro coming up this weekend. Talk about preparation for a racetrack you've not been to. And I don't know, it just seems like an outlier for you guys, but a really cool event.
Yeah. It's an interesting place. Obviously, we went and did the
tire test.
We did the test there. It's unlike any place anywhere else we go. It's an old worn out track. A lot of roughness to it. A lot of tire fall off. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, how it goes. It's going to be new to everybody. Obviously, we get the 50-minute practice session, so that'll help everybody get a little bit of experience with it. But it's going to be an interesting race.
Got a whole 50 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. We got our 50 minutes.
Use it wisely, that's for sure. Don't spend it all in one place.
You probably have more time than you have tires, though, with 50 minutes, right?
That is true. Yeah, you don't. 50 minutes is way more time than you have tires.
You said uncertainty. Do you have a guess? Do you have a hunch on what we're going to see? Or is it just one of those old school fall off races where, you know, comers and goers? I mean, do you have a guess?
I kind of feel like, I hear a lot of people talk about how, you know, some of the other series might race a track like that, where you kind of run around and you save your tires and, you know, wait till the last, 20 laps or so, things like that. But I have the feeling with our guys, you're just going to see, there's probably gonna be more cautions. it's going to come down, I think, on our end of, you know, when do you, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to put your set of tires on. It's just going to be which pit stop or which caution do you feel like is the right time to do it? Because I think you'll see more cautions in our race with guys racing.
I tend to think you're right. Just look at the end of all these races we've had in the last month, and I think that's a good indication, Scott. Yeah. The other factor that I think is fascinating is Friday night, we're going to have a pit crew challenge to set the lineup for the heat races and the open for the drivers there. You talked about how the pit crew is performing on the racetrack. How jacked up are your guys? How neat is this for those guys that go over the wall for them to get a chance to shine on Friday night?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're excited about it. I feel like our guys have got a lot of potential. They've really, really been doing a great job for us here. And so it's a great opportunity for all those guys to show what they can do. And I know they're all excited about it.
Excited for sure. We're excited to get up there. It's going to be a fun weekend. Scott, we do appreciate the time. Congratulations on the success, the solid climb forward you guys are making. And can't wait to see what we all see at North Wilkesboro. Maybe $1 million check headed back to RFK. That paints some more floors and get some more. Hey, have you been to the... Now, are you... I'm off track here a little bit. Have you been or are you a regular down at that gym, that workout facility that you guys have there? Brad took us on a tour of that. That is spectacular.
It's really nice. I don't use it as much as I should. it's a really nice facility. Again, just like everything else. I mean, it's something that's really, you know, something we can be really proud of. And you can bring people in and like, this is what RFK is. And it shows, you know, that we're here. We mean business and we're here to compete.
No doubt. Boy, that was a spectacular tour. That's for sure. Scott, again, we appreciate the time. Best of luck going forward.
All right, thank you.
There we go. Scott Graves joining us from over at RFK Racing. Stay with us. More Crew Call in just a moment.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post hanging out here, getting ready for the All-Star Race. You and I in the break here. We just had a conversation, and I want to share the changes over at RFK, the improvements, the painting the floor, and I shared with you. Friday morning, I got up and I went to the Auto Bell, which is our local car wash place, and I got the full deal inside, outside, the whole way. I drive an old beater car. I drive an old hand-me-down beater car. And I've been driving that car all week, and I feel so much better getting in that car. Appearance and attention to detail and those type things are just critical to every aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah. You put yourself in a place you want to be, and people want to be there. Their mentality is different. I think, I knew Brad would have an impact.
Yeah.
I did. I felt that. I worked with Brad on the Xfinity side. I've worked beside Brad through Team Penske. He's focused on what it takes to be successful. And I think he's brought a great mentality into that place. I think he's rejuvenated it. And part of it's goofy to say, but I mean, RP was that way, right?
Right.
Roger Penske.
Right.
But you know, it's when he took over Indianapolis Motor Speedway, just doing the details. And, Brad, I think Brad has influenced that kind of side of make this where it's about the teams, make it the right environment that people want to be successful in. And, putting them in an environment they're happy with.
Yeah.
It makes people dig a little deeper. It's fun to watch. This whole group has been fun to watch as they've kind of grown in. You know, even we went to the Coliseum, and everybody's like, oh boy, the RFK cars didn't make it again. Like, but that race doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And they were good at Daytona. They had speed there, and they're on a great run. And not just Scott and not just Scott and Chris, but the
Matt and Brad too.
Yes, three of the last 4 weeks they've put both their cars in the top 10.
Well, how many teams are doing that?
That's
pretty good
in a situation where Ford feels like they're a little aero deficient.
Yeah,
not greatly, but I mean it's been talked about in the media that they feel like they're the third of the from an aero standpoint, and they're still doing it. Yeah. So. A great environment. It's going to be fun to watch these guys.
It is going to be fun to watch. That's for sure. Fun to watch is North Wilkesboro. What? Okay. So we're all guessing. I asked Scott to guess. What do you think we're going to see up there?
So we got 200 laps. We got like competition break about 100.
Yeah.
You can only take one set. You get three sets of tires. Mm. You've got, I think, on your car in three sets.
Right.
But you can only change one set after that competition break at 100.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a game of poker. How long am I going to hold my tires? Like Scott talked about, you know, how many cautions are we going to get? You don't want to be sitting there with that set, but you sure want to have that set left with eight to go if you want to put tires on.
It's Superman.
It's a little bit of liar's poker, but we'll see where it goes. I love that we're going back there. I've actually been to North Wilkesboro in the grandstands when I was at Clemson. Mm-hmm. Dad and I went to a race there. I went to another one right now, but, I love getting back to the place. I love old, you know me, I'm an old wore out asphalt guy to start with.
Yeah.
So, and I remembered right after I said to Scott, you haven't been there? Yeah, you had. He was one of the three cars that did tire tests there.
Yeah.
But we're talking about multiple seconds of fall off.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
Like, I don't want to say tire fall off because we don't like tires falling off.
No,
right?
No, exactly.
So, but it's just
loss of speed.
Yeah.
Loss
the
of
grip
speed.
Goes away. The tires hanging get worn out. Like it's
get those elbows up, boys and girls. Yes. That's exactly. That's what
I think
we're
it's going to be great. I went to Dale Jr.'s race there last year.
Yeah.
Oh, and, gosh. And it was a phenomenal show.
Yeah. 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 The car store race up there was fantastic. And just good stuff. It's just going to be fascinating. It really is. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine what it's going to look like. I just can't imagine. I'm just like beside myself because I went to one of the modified races last year and I went to the Cars Tour race last year and it was spectacular then. But I'm telling you, that place, it looked the same. Those cars going up that back stretch and those drivers saw it on the steering wheels. That was 1996. That was 1971. That was 1963.
Yes.
That was 1954.
Yes.
And that's going to be 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. With the addition of, you know, the infield's all kind of cleaned up and nice now. Inside wall, there's new concrete to it. I looked at it. Is that grip? Oh, no, there's a curb there.
There's a curb. Look, crew chief looking for grip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at it. You might be running right up against the wall because there is concrete the first, 8 inches from the safer barrier out. But
bring on Harry Gantt then. That's what I want, the Harry Gantt line. That's it.
But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great show.
It is going to be a great show. Motor Racing Network is there all weekend long as well. We kick it off Friday night, 4 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to have that big 50-minute practice session. Then we're going to do the Pit Crew Challenge. I cannot wait for this. I absolutely love being on pit road for MRN to watch the men and women that pit these cars, because I just think they're spectacular. And I love that Friday night, we're going to get a chance to shine a little light on the folks that pit these cars. So that is Friday night. Saturday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Tyson 250. It's got to be a Tyson race.
Of course it
does.
Why
not? It's got to be a Tyson race. Tyson 250. Then we come back later that day in the evening, actually 7 p.m. Eastern time for the Cup Series qualifying heat races Saturday night. And then Sunday, 4:30 Eastern time, the NASCAR All-Star Open, and then the All-Star Race. Lots of entertainment, lots of fun, lots and lots. And if you're going to the race, lots of traffic. So bring a dose of, come to the race. Come to the race.
You got tickets, come to the race. They're preaching. You can buy your parking ahead of time because certain lots are sold out.
Right.
Get online, it up. Figure out the parking situation. It is a challenge there, but they've got a plan for it. You just got to be a
And then the Waze app on the way in and out, the Waze app is what they're telling you to do. But it's just going to be spectacular. It just is going to be spectacular to be back at North Wilkesboro. So fun stuff, that's for sure. So see what happens. Stay tuned. Nobody knows. Got to tune into Motor Racing Network this weekend. So good stuff, good times. We do appreciate Scott Graves joining us here this time on Crew Call. But more important than all of that, we thank you for joining us this time here on MRN's Crew Call.